From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 26th day of October 2020. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Chad Hart, Extension Agricultural Economist at Iowa State, will tell us all about the snow on the ground. That's right, the snow on the ground on his campus. Oh, and we'll talk about the markets with him, too. And then we'll discuss the weather forecast with Mark Russo at Brisk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois. And as we wrap up our time together today, we'll take up the cash grain markets and basis with the guys there at the Andersons right here in Champaign County, Illinois, on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn today, a penny and a half lower. It finished at 417 and three quarters. The March at 418 and a half, down one and three quarters. And May corn, two lower. It settled at 419 and a quarter. July, down a penny at 419 and a quarter. Next year's December, 392 and a quarter, one and three quarters lower. November beans up four, 1087 and three quarters, the settlement price. January, two and a half higher at 1083 and a half. The July there, 1058 and a half, down a penny and a quarter. And November beans unchanged, $9.82 and three quarters for 2021. Bean oil futures up 35 cents. The bean meal, $3.20 higher. Wheat futures July down 9¾ cents at 608 and a quarter, and the hard red July at 569, 16 cents lower on the day. The live cattle futures in Chicago finished the October at 103.97 and a half, up 62 and a half. December, though, down 17 and a half cents at 103.40. November feeder cattle at $130.57 and a half cents, 92 and a half cents higher, and lean hogs in the December, 72 and a half cents higher at $67. And 75 cents for the day. Taking a quick look at some of the outside markets. Crude oil down $1.34 a gallon, a barrel. Ethanol futures per gallon up 4 7/10 cents. Heating oil or diesel fuel down 3 2/10. And the gasoline on wholesale price at $1.10 9/10. 2 9/10 cents lower. The Dow is off around 740 points. The dollar is up 0.2, and the gold futures are down $1.80 at $1,920. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois on this Monday. Hey, it's a cool, kind of wet, I guess even, well, you say you got some sleet there in your part of the world. Were you out checking things out?
Yeah, I drew the short straw and went to the post office to pick up the mail there, and boy, it was a little chilly. Even though we don't have a long walk from the office door to the car, it's still a little frigid for too early for me, I guess.
Well, we'll get to winter at some point, but I think we should hold it off for a while. Farmers are still in the field, though. I don't think there's much left around. Have you been out to see?
Yeah, I did several crop tours through the countryside here over the last few days, and it varies a lot from area to area. For the most part, guys have wrapped up beans except for those later beans, and still a little bit of corn out yet. As a nation, they're looking for this afternoon's harvest progress to be 73% complete on corn versus 60% last week. 57% is average, so we're still above average. Bean-wise, as a nation, 83% of the beans harvested versus 75% of last week. The average is about 74%, so ahead of average there. So, you know, once we get through next day or so, it's looking like warmer and drier next week. So the weather forecast for the most part, you know, fairly favorable for fall activity. Probably the biggest news item in visiting producers and kind of get a feel for what's going on, kind of feels like the producers about 70-75% sold up on beans and probably 40-50% sold up on corn. So guys have been fairly aggressive, taking advantage of this up move here we've seen over the last month and a half, and getting where they want to be here. As we move forward, the concern continues to be the outside news for the most part. We do have the election here next week. We'll see how that kind of unfolds. But kind of the bigger picture here, these COVID cases starting to pick back up, not only here in the U.S., but around the world, has kind of got the trade a little bit concerned. along with, you know, we're not seeing the stimulus package coming to light here anytime soon. So when you look at the election, the COVID, and no real solid direction on the stimulus package, it's got the trade wanting to probably come in and cover a little risk in through here. For those who have stock positions on mutual funds, one thing we've been doing a little bit of is buying some fairly cheap put options on the stock indexes. That way, if all heck would break loose, one would have some downside protection. You don't have to worry about liquidating your portfolio.
So it appears that today the Dow and the S&P 500 both a little skittish about, I suppose it didn't help that the office of the vice president was COVID-19 positive, not the vice president himself, but those around him. And of course, the tick up. So things are of COVID across the country, that is. So the Dow off, the S&P 500 off, and that could slow things down, but export pace remains good. And I'm wondering, when you couple that with maybe the cattle on feed report from last week, and I don't know what you think about that one, what it all means.
On the export pace, it's strong. The shipments were above expectations on beans. We shipped out 97.8 million bushels of beans. So we're shipping out what we're selling. Corn shipments were good at 25. Wheat was decent at 13. When you look at the total percentage of sales to China, I think they've estimated we've reached this 70, 71, 72% to phase one. So I think that's huge itself. And the fact that you turn back the clock over a year ago, you know, the export feeling was almost zero, and they came forward and probably will continue to be underneath the marketplace gathering some inventory. Back to your question on the cattle and feed report, the placement number was way above trade expectations, and the fear was that the cattle complex would open limit down. But when you look at the prices, D's down 17, those Feb live fats down 22, the back end was actually anywhere from $20 to $1 higher. That's really constructive. We got a lot of red meat out there consuming a lot of USA-made grain, and the trade just feels that we've had enough of breaking through here that we're going to continue to see this export market stay strong, consumer consumption stay strong. December fast down around this 102.5 area down to about 101. Probably fairly good value when you look at the long-term picture.
Anything beyond the election in the next week that we need to be keeping an eye out for this week?
I think we need to watch that weather pattern. We have another hurricane coming up through the Gulf. The southern half of the U.S. is going to get deluged with moisture, but expected to throw some moisture in that Western Plains area. And the old wheat market took it hard on the chin, particularly Kansas City wheat. December up front was down over 17 cents. Chicago was down 12 to 13 cents a bushel. So they've been extremely dry. They're going to have a shot some moisture. Hopefully that'll green things up for them. Same thing in Argentina. We've been looking at dry conditions there. They've got a shot some moisture. So we're going to be watching this weather forecast here for the wheat complex here over the next few weeks.
Always good to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Very good. Take care.
You too. That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report for this Monday afternoon. Find us again. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at WILLAG.org. Let's check in now with Chad Hart. He's an Extension Iowa State specialist in commodity marketing. Hey, thanks so much, Chad, for being with us. You don't have snow on the ground still there from that storm last week, do you?
We have some snow. Actually, it came in over the last night and a half, that we had some flurries come through, and it's enough to not only cover the ground, but leave some on the roadways here in the middle of the day.
Oh, so you had more snow since the one we've heard about, the bigger one. Wow.
Yes.
So it must be pretty cool there. I know it's supposed to be coming in, but it seems pretty early for Iowa to have snow that deep into Iowa anyway, where you are there in Ames, further north in the Dakotas, even snow there too. So what I want to know up front, though, is how much progress you think farmers made last week and how good the crop is in Iowa.
Well, that's the deal. With the weather that we've got here, we know that we didn't make the progress we'd like to have seen, but we were still running way ahead. You know, if you think back to last week's crop progress report, it was basically showing the nation was about a week to a little over a week ahead in terms of that harvest progress. And while we won't still be a week ahead, we'll still be at least 4 or 5 days ahead. And so a lot of this crop has already come in. And that's what makes watching the markets right now so interesting, in that typically when you're talking about an early harvest rolling in, that tends to put pressure on the markets downward. And instead, we've been watching these markets work their way up very strongly over the past couple of months.
This has been demand driven. Is it mostly domestic or export market?
This is mainly export markets, especially when you're looking at the corn and bean markets. Both are basically double, you know, in terms of sales compared to this time last year. And so the international marketplace is really providing the majority of the support that we're seeing in pricing over this fall.
Any fear that they're just front loading?
Well, I think there's some fear of that. But also when we look at the data, the idea is we are seeing a fair amount of this, you know, being shipped early as well. And so we're running ahead not only in those sales, but also in the shipments.
That's got to be good news across the board, I would think.
It is good news. You know, I'd say the biggest challenge, though, is that it is very China-centric. I say that in that, you know, China has been taking a lot of deliveries as well. This is the push to fill out that phase one trade deal. But we would like to see, let's call it broader support from the international marketplace. And I would say this is a strange one in that corn probably is getting a little more support, if you will, worldwide than beans. Beans, it is truly a China phenomena. With corn, I can at least point to some growth in Japan and Colombia and South Korea also chipping in to the data we're seeing so far.
Do you suppose that once they get close to whatever their goal happens to be for the calendar year, if it's a phase one push, that the Chinese will then hold off until the fall of next year for more purchases?
It's quite possible that they would, but I think it also depends upon what they're pulling these products in for. And we do know that they've been re-ramping up that you know, the hog industry there. So they've been needing a lot of feed grains. And so it, you know, really it depends upon the pace at which they're restocking those herds as to how quickly they're churning through this crop. The more of it that is, if you will, being put back into storage in China, the more likely that, yeah, we would see this fall off as we enter the new year.
What's your rough estimate of what farmers have been doing with the crops that they've harvested from the fields, particularly those that have had to go across the scale? Have they sold corn and soybeans, or are they putting it in storage at the elevator?
I'm seeing a mixed bag here in Iowa, at least. So the idea is that, you know, especially with the damage we saw from the derecho, that forced some farmers into earlier sales than they would have liked. So luckily, they've been seeing some, you know, stronger prices, cash prices here as they hit harvest time and delivered. But we've also seen a lot of folks who are trying to take advantage of this opportunity to put this crop into storage. As we're looking at the futures market prices out there, you know, they're holding fairly strong as we look out all the way into July of 2021. So giving folks some hope that they could see continued price strength as we move into next spring.
I'd like to talk about demand domestically, and particularly the livestock market side, meaning demand from livestock. The cattle and feed numbers were out Friday afternoon. Did they give you any indication of what demand will look like going forward for corn and other products?
Well, it does speak that we are basically seeing, I'll call it, the herd is growing, but not growing at the pace that we've seen quite in the past. And that makes some sense given what this industry's just been through. I know in looking at the cattle on feed report, we did see, and I guess I'll describe it as the industry is catching up in terms of getting those animals current again. that inventory of cattle that had been on feed for over, 3 months. That number ballooned way up when we were having the production problems with COVID-19. That has come back down into more seasonal levels now. So at least we're, current in terms of our supply. And when I'm looking at the prices that we're putting on the board there, the idea is, cattle have settled in here into, I'll call it a fairly nice spot in that they've seen some recovery, but, still not quite as high as it was pre-COVID. On the other hand, the pork industry has watched prices sail basically back to where they were pre-COVID. And a lot of that is being driven, just like it was on the crop side, due to export demand for the product really driving the need to continue to see a lot of pork produced here in the U.S.
Hey, Chad, thank you so much. I appreciate it. We'll talk with you again next month.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Chad Hart is an Extension agricultural economist located on the campus of Iowa State University in Ames. Let's move now to Chicago, where meteorologist Mark Russo is located and works for Risk Pulse. Hey, Mark, thanks so much for being with us. I'm wondering about this storm, Zeta, that is in the Gulf of Mexico. I guess it's expected to come ashore somewhere near New Orleans, and it might shut the port down?
Well, Todd, for all practical purposes, Zeta is a hurricane that's kind of borderline right now in the Northwest Caribbean. And it's going to be tracking into the Gulf of Mexico here, actually crossing the Yucatan here tonight, on into the Gulf of Mexico on Tuesday, and then making landfall, it looks like, in around eastern Louisiana coming up Wednesday later in the day. And so on that track, it does look to produce impacts in around the New Orleans area, and that's likely going to close the port to not only agricultural products here, movement, shipping and movement across that area, but then also for other products there that move through the Port of New Orleans as well.
Yeah, so the port doesn't generally close down for very long, but it will be closed during the biggest storm surge, I suppose. Does it have an impact further up into the United States, for instance, anything for those harvesting crops in the Mississippi River Valley or even here in the Midwest?
Yeah, first off, for areas of the Delta and portions of the Southeast, again, some of the rain activity here will likely cause some detrimental issues here to crops, especially those unharvested crops that are closest to where the storm will be making landfall. But the storm is going to be a fast mover. So again, not anticipating any kind of inland flooding or any kind of major issues there. And then also some of the rains will make their way into areas of the southern Midwest, which again could cause some harvest delays for a couple of days. But then after that, it does look like drier weather returns to those areas.
Here in the Midwest, rainfall a little bit, not much of a delay, I suppose. What's it look like next week?
Yeah, next week looks totally dry across the vast majority of the Midwest. So, and temperatures look warmer too after this week's cold. So a much more favorable week next week in terms of harvest progress across the entire belt, Todd.
Anything you've been watching around the planet we should be aware of, whether that's here in the United States or elsewhere?
Yeah, for the Plains hard red winter wheat belt, they are in the midst of an unusual early winter storm producing snow and ice and actually significant precip across areas of the belt that particularly need it, especially from Kansas down through the Oklahoma Panhandle. But this looks to be a one-shot deal, and drier weather looks to return after this beneficial event. And then we're watching South America, where, again, in the net, the next couple of weeks features some rain opportunities, especially in areas of northern Brazil. But southern Brazil and Argentina, the pattern features less active conditions. Granted, Argentina has significantly improved over the past week with the unsettled weather, but still some drier areas to monitor, especially in southern Brazil coming up in early November.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate it. We'll talk with you again next week.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Risk Pulse. He's in Chicago, Illinois. Helped us take a look at the weather forecast. Amy Sage is now here from the Andersons, where It's gray skies and a little rainfall this afternoon. Hi, Amy. How are things there at the elevator?
Pretty good. A little cloudy, as you say. A few little sprinkles here, but harvest keeps progressing, and it's going pretty well.
You know, I drove around yesterday. I don't get out all that often anymore because I work from the home studio. And boy, it looked like, gosh, almost everything's gone in our part of the world. What's your expectation for this afternoon's reports, and what's the area look like now?
Yeah, so, we really wrapped up a vast majority of bean harvest a week, 10 days ago now. So, of course, we still have some trickling in, but a few double crop beans and some of the later planted beans here. But for the most part, bean harvest is all but done. Corn harvest, we've made a significant dent into, and I would say probably we're getting close to that 80% done mark here, with most people wrapping up here by the end of the week, weather pending, of course. And then, we'll see it continue for another couple weeks yet, but it'll be the last 15-20% of harvest there. So we're making big progress in this area, and the corn keeps coming.
Corn keeps coming, and it actually appears to remain pretty strong on the board. And other places, basis as well, I think, is holding up too. Is that right?
It is. In fact, it's been really firm, both corn and beans, but we're seeing that same pattern in beans, in corn as what we saw at beans there at the tail end of harvest. Everything's really supportive. Rail values have been great. Obviously, we've been in a demand-driven type of marketplace here, and that's been reflected across the board. So we've been seeing that with rail values, been able to ship a few extra trains during harvest that we wouldn't typically do, and that's being reflected at processors and commercial facilities as well.
Did you see a point during the harvest where for either corn or soybeans producers said, I'm just going to store it and not sell it across the scale?
There's a little bit of that, but I think a lot of what's happening is people are choosing to sell or put it on a basis contract here on their overrun corn at the elevator, and then if they're putting it in the bin, they're using that with their speculative bushels more so than what's coming across the scale at harvest. This crop is very storable, especially compared to last year. It's dried down a lot. The quality's good, so there's going to be some on the farm, and I think that's what guys are going to use to speculate on.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, Amy. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd.
Amy Sage is with the Andersons. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Monday afternoon.